been a beautiful week here in Linville, and I, when I'm here, never miss a chance to go to the top of Grandfather Mountain, even when it's windy. Ben Russell has spilled the beans about what this sermon is about. He said it was about rocks, but it's really about Grandfather Mountain. It is about rocks. Grandfather Mountain, a beautiful structure, is not just made of rock. It's made of something called metamorphic rock. The geologists among you know what that means. A metamorphic rock is not an igneous rock, and it's not a sedimentary rock. It's a rock that has changed over time. Metamorphic means change. Meta means change. Morphos means form. So a metamorphic rock has been changed by pressure and heat and time and some sort of chemical reactions. And that is what makes Grandfather Mountain so beautiful. The changes that have occurred. The rest of the old Appalachian Blue Ridge chain has drifted on. And apparently the rest of the Appalachian Mountains, the older part, has been eroded away and now makes up all the sand on the beach of the Atlantic Ocean. That's where the sand comes from. It's drifted down the rivers. But a rock like Grandfather Mountain is a fitting image to ascribe to God. God is our rock, we say. And we say it because we don't think God changes. God is steady and secure. God is our rock. But in fact, rocks do change. Some of the most beautiful rocks are beautiful because they've changed and they've slid and they've tumbled and opened up great caverns. I am on the rock. Rock that lasts, I am on the rock that lasts. My soul has found its resting place. I am on the rock that lasts. Some of us sing that song in churches because we're on a rock that lasts. We call our parents rocks. Some of the great foundations of our community have been rocks. Our grandparents were rocks, and yet they do change. Things change in life. Even God changes. God is a metamorphic rock. Let me explain, however, the ways that God changes. One of the ways is from the lesson, the disturbing lesson that we just heard from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus, the Son of God, is convinced to change his mission in today's gospel. It's a very disturbing lesson. He's out doing his thing, and a Canaanite woman shows up. Canaan, of course, is not Jewish. That's the non-Jewish foreigner. The Canaanite woman says, "My daughter's being tormented by a demon." Jesus doesn't say a thing. Then the disciples say, "Say something to her. She's shouting after us." And Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I was sent only to my people, my hometown, my folks." And then the Canaanite woman says, "Lord, help me." Then Jesus says something more disturbing. It's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. Don't ever say that to anybody. That's not one of Jesus' things that you should be imitating. It's an awkward line. But the Canaanite woman speaks up, "Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." That line, that statement, changes Jesus. Jesus realizes that his mission is changed, and that God's mercy, the wideness of God's mercy, goes beyond his own people, his own house of Israel. "Woman," Your faith has made you well, Jesus says to the Canaanite woman. And at that point, Jesus realizes that his mission has been expanded. It's no longer just to the children of Israel, it's to the whole world. I have another favorite story about the way God changes. Hold on, though, there's another point to it. It's in the book of Exodus. It's about Moses going up to the top of the mountain, coming down with the Ten Commandments. You know the story. And you remember what he saw when he came down? The people of Israel had gotten bored or gotten impatient. I've never been impatient for anything God was doing. They did. And had somehow constructed this golden calf. Moses is furious, not as furious as Yahweh. Moses says, what's going on? And Aaron, good old Aaron. Aaron has the feigned innocence of a five-year-old. He says, I don't know, we lit a fire and we threw our gold in there and out came this calf. That's what it said, out came this calf. I said, he had nothing to do with it. Well, Moses is furious. Yahweh is furious. And Yahweh says, I'm going to annihilate everybody. I'm going to get rid of this people. And he tells Moses, I'm going to start over with you. I'm going to make of you a great nation. This is in Exodus chapter 32, if you want to check me out later on. Moses starts arguing with God, with Yahweh. It says quite clearly, Moses is trying to get God to change his mind. That's a weird thing to be arguing with God about. But what's even more special is Moses wins the argument. And it says that God changes his mind and decides not to do away with the people. Except if you read the old King James Version. Anybody still got a King James Version of the Bible? Somewhere up on the top shelf. It doesn't say, it does say this. It says, it doesn't say God changes his mind. It says God repented of the evil that he had decided to do to the people. God repented? Well, the word repent, literally in the Greek, is metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means your mind. Metanoia. So it says that God changed his mind, but the word is repent. God repented of the evil that he wanted to do to his people. Now this is an odd thing to think about, God repenting of something. However, many of you have been leaders of something or another in your life. Maybe you've had families or at work, and one of the things that's fallen to you probably is attempts to change people's minds, right? I need this person to change their mind and do this for a while. And you know how hard it is to get people to change their minds. Well, we live in a culture right now where nobody wants to change their minds. Everybody's obstinate and direct. The best way to get people to change their mind is to show them how to do it. Every parent knows this. Every teacher knows this. Saying something is not as good as showing. So I believe when God and Jesus say, repent, repent, all the time, they are also willing to show us how to do it. God repented of the evil that he planned to do to his people. And they went on. Jesus changes his mind about his mission. So God is a rock, but a metanoia rock. A metamorphic rock, a rock that can change over time, but always in the name of love. It's not a willy-nilly changing. It's not a capricious going back and forth. But it's because of love that Jesus realizes the Canaanite woman's faith is strong. It's because of love that God Yahweh changes his mind to include the Hebrews, to include the Canaanite woman in Jesus's. So there is a rock that changes, but it's the rock that changes us in the name of love. A rock that changes us in the name of love. So I have an object lesson of my sermon this morning. I have something I want to show you. And most of you have seen it before, and it's not in my hand. It's halfway up the road to the top of Grandfather Mountain. You go up there, and there's a lot of rocks. And one's called the Sphinx Rock. You know that one. And what's the one right behind it?
Split
Rock. It's the Split Rock. So it's weird. It's a big rock with a big gash in it. It's a big split. It's a rock that has changed. It has opened up. One of the words you can use for split or cut is cleft. Nobody uses that word much, cleft. But you do if you sing one of the old spirituals. It goes like this. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Rock of ages, please let open for me, cleft for me. Be changed so that love can come through the world. God is willing to change. Even God the rock is willing to change to open up love in the world. That's our gospel for today. That's our gospel for our lifetime. Being willing to change like God.